Hello, everybody from New Orleans. This is Richard Hawker, the president of the American Association for Museum Volunteers. And this special edition of our Volunteer Voices podcast comes directly from New Orleans. It's Tuesday, May 21st, 2019. And this morning, we had a fabulous session at the American Alliance of Museums conference. And it was called Volunteer Recruitment, Retention, and Recognition. 60 ideas in 60 minutes. And what you're about to hear is the whole audio from the session. And on aamv.org, our website, you will also see the slides, the handout, and all of the other information that goes along with this really fabulous session that we hosted today in New Orleans. So we hope you enjoy. Okay, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Oh, that's a sleepy morning. Sleepy crowd. Welcome to our session, Volunteer Recruitment, Recognition, and Retention. This is going to be hopefully a fun, fast-paced session this morning as we explore 60 ideas in 60 minutes. And just a couple of things. First of all, can we get a big thank you for Veronica, our volunteer in the back? We love our volunteers, and Veronica is also a volunteer manager herself, so she got to do double duty today. But we appreciate all of the volunteers. And just to kind of give you a few pieces of housekeeping before I introduce the incredible people on the stage with me, we actually have two different versions of our slide deck. The one that is in the app is slightly longer and slightly meatier and heftier, and then the one that is on the screen is a little lighter. So don't feel like you need to take notes today because we have this heavier, meatier, chunkier version on the app. The other thing is there is a pad of paper down here on the front row that, if you wouldn't mind passing around, if you'd like to sign up for us to send you a follow-up handout that is nice and thick and dense, it's 2 pages. We are also recording the audio of this session, and it is going to be on the website of the American Association for Museum Volunteers, of whom I am the president and Jenny is our vice president. And AAMV is supporting and sponsoring this session. And if you don't know, it is the only professional organization dedicated to museum volunteer managers and museum volunteers. And so on our website, aamv.org, will live some resources from this session as well. The other thing I'll say is that of our 60 ideas, some of these are crowdsourced, so you may see some of your own ideas up here, which if you do, it's a compliment, I promise. And we thank you, and we're also going to have some time for some audience Q&A at the end, so hopefully as we're talking about some of our best ideas and some of the things that we've seen in our communities and our friends and our colleagues, you'll be thinking about some of your best recognition, retention, and recruitment ideas. So that's the housekeeping. And one other thing I'll say before we get into our session is that some of you may have known that this is one of the very few sessions about volunteer management at the conference, and that's not okay by us. And so if you feel like that's not okay by you, we would love you to join us in telling AAM when they do their surveys and their feedbacks and on Twitter and whatever you feel like. Tell them that we need more sessions about volunteer managers, because we know that our museums are successful when our volunteers are successful. And we believe that, you know, volunteers and volunteer management deserves just as much time as education, collections, and everything else. So if you feel that way, please let everybody know, tell the world, because only when we make the case for why we need more professional development around volunteer management will people listen and people, make changes about that. So that's the last thing I'll say about that. But today, I'm joined by incredible people who are going to tell you some of their very best ideas. I'm going to go from your left, my right. Jenny Woods is the Assistant Manager of Volunteer Programs at the Seattle Art Museum in Seattle. Crystal Lee Stone is the Assistant Manager of Volunteer Engagement at the Exploratorium in San Francisco. And next year at AM, we're going to go hang with Crystal in San Francisco. And Renee Burke is the Assistant Director of Guest Engagement at the John G. Shedd Aquarium in Chicago. And they're going to be sharing some of their killer ideas with you today. But a couple of other things I'll say before I turn it over to them is when you see on our slide deck the idea star, you're going to know that these are ideas that are we're really thinking about inclusion, diversity, equity, and accessibility. Like I said, there's going to be time for sharing your ideas, and all of this is going to be available later. And then one slide of basics before we get to our ideas, which is we know that happy volunteers And successful volunteers make for better museums. And so before you even think about any of these ideas, know that you need to have an easily accessible volunteer application and a really strong and well thought out onboarding process. If you don't have those, then everything we're about to say doesn't really matter. You need to make sure you provide training and orientation to your new volunteers. And you need to just do some very basic things well. You need to thank your volunteers. You need to be nice to them. You need to send them cards and emails and just be generally good people. And once you've done that, then you can start diving into the bigger ideas and themes of today's session. So right now, I'm going to turn it over.
Good morning. Again, my name is Renee Burke, Assistant Director of Guest Engagement at Chef Aquarium. So for the recruitment section, there are a lot of different things to think about. One is that for recruitment, everything is going to be different at each of your organizations. Whether you have a small organization, a large organization, recruitment is a lot of trial and error. There are things that will work for your community, but there are things that will not work for your community. So you really have to just test things out and see what works best for you, and use that to the best of your ability. And as we're doing up here, and the fact that we crowdsourced a lot of these ideas, go to your colleagues and ask for ideas of like what's worked well for them. But hopefully some of these ideas will be useful, and you'll find some things that can help you build your volunteer corps. So first off,
thank you.
Sure, you're great, thank you. So first off is word of mouth. So use who you have to get the word out. Word of mouth is a great way to be able to connect to people and get them, one, aware of the fact that you need volunteers. I'm surprised how many people walk through our doors and have no idea that we have 700 volunteers that help us function each day. So word of mouth is important, but the best people to do that are your volunteers themselves. They're the ones that have the great stories. They're the ones that are passionate about being at your organization. So use them. Use your staff. Use your board members. But to make sure that everyone is on point, make sure that you have talking points for everyone so they really understand what it is that you're looking for, what volunteer positions you have open. And so really sharing those little bits of information to make sure that everyone's sharing the same thing, but really making sure that you're using the people at your disposal to help you get the message out. That's the first and foremost and easiest thing to do. But also, personal invitations are incredibly important. It's actually been shown through research that when you personally invite someone to do something, it goes further, and they get more excited. They know that you want them as an individual to come and help. So personally inviting a friend, a family, having others do the same, to an orientation session, to email the volunteer office and get more information, to fill out an application online. So that's really important as well. Next, we're going to move on to online communication. So we know that this is really hot these days, social media being probably one of the hottest. So you have Twitter, you have Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, all the different kinds of things that you can use. And a great way to do that is actually share your volunteer stories on social media. So you don't even have to say it as a recruitment message if you don't want to, but just sharing what your volunteers do, pictures of your volunteers in action, of them engaging with the guests at your organization and seeing the huge smiles on faces. That's really important because then it gets that message out, and then they can in turn potentially see themselves in that position and want to apply. But in addition to that, the online information is really important. That's where a lot of people are finding information about volunteer opportunities. So make sure it's specific and detailed, but clear. You don't want to get vague. You don't want to have too much information so it's overwhelming and they don't really know what they're trying to read. Be specific and clear, and you'll get more click-throughs. You'll get more people that are like, oh, this like seems like a really good fit for me, and want to click through and actually look at more details or apply. And then also, have something like a blog. It's a great way, actually, let me make a comment really quick. You're going to see a lot of crossover between our three areas that I'm talking about with recruitment, retention, and recognition. Like for the blog, for example, it's a great way to recruit because people find out about your program. It's a great way to retain volunteers because they're seeing themselves in something, but it's also a great way to recognize volunteers for all the amazing work they do. So there is going to be a lot of overlap between the three of us up here sharing ideas. But again, it's a great way for them to be recognized, but to have others see the importance of their volunteers and what they do for your organization. Next, we have community connections. The next two slides are fairly connected, but community connections. I'm sure a lot of your organizations, whether it's your marketing department, your education department, your public relations department, go offsite often and are promoting your organization, maybe not specifically your volunteer program, but your organization. Have them take volunteer information out with them. It's a great way, even if they only come in contact with a few people that are interested in volunteering. It's just another way to get the information out there. So if you have brochures, if you have like cards or whatever, have them take it with them so you're getting more information out. But also things like getting different articles in local newspapers, having them write an article about one of your volunteers. Also, like putting things at the Y, even doing things like if you have next door in your community, posting things either at their locations, on their app. There are lots of different ways to get out in the community and just for awareness of their program, awareness of what you do, and awareness even, don't forget all of those perks and benefits that you offer volunteers. Highlighting those too, because that's important and it's an incentive to get volunteers to come in and help out at your organization. So partnerships, like I said, this one is a little bit connected as well as the community partnerships. But there are lots of local organizations, local volunteer organizations that you have in your communities. Hands on ATL in Atlanta, we have Chicago Cares, there's Volunteer Match. All of these things that will allow you to make, or actually have an organization make connections for you to get volunteers. So think about things when you sign up for this. Just make sure you're being really diligent and you're following through with the people that they're connecting you with. Because when you are a dedicated partner for them, when you are following through and giving the volunteers what they need and really making a connection with that volunteer, they're going to follow up with you and they're going to try and place more volunteers at your organization. So that's just another great way to get the word out there. Also, find organizations that have shared goals. So thinking about things like I come from a science aquarium. So Patagonia, we have a lot of similar interests in things. How can we connect and promote to their audiences that would potentially want to come? And things like that. And think about those different organizations that you can make a partnership with to get out there with more people. Another thing is schools. Teams are amazing. And I know some people are afraid of teams. I get it. They can be a challenge at times, but I adore them. And so doing something like starting a teen volunteer program is a great opportunity for teens to get semi into the workforce, you know, volunteering, they're donating their time. But it's a chance for them to get into a professional setting, and they have so much to give, they have so much enthusiasm. Our teens are the ones, since I work in like the education field, our teens are the ones that are always like, yeah, sure, I'll be playing Matrix. I'll do all of the like the hands-on stuff that some of our older volunteers may not be as comfortable doing. So connecting with the schools, their teachers, their counselors, the administrators, it's a great way to get a different type of volunteer into your organization. And also think about like all of the new museum professionals that we could be building by doing that. Moving on, we also just want to make it easy. Make it easy to apply. Make it easy for them to find out about it. Obviously, we have a lot of people visiting our organizations, visiting our museums. So a great way is to highlight your volunteers on site. Whether that be, we have volunteers carrying around like little wallet cards, like the size of a business card, that has volunteer information on it. How can they apply? What type of information do they need to understand what volunteering is like in our organization? And when our volunteers are engaging with guests and they're like, person seems like they might be one of us, they can hand over a card. We also have up there the buttons asking about volunteering. And so we're just encouraging people to connect with us and figure out if there's a way that they can see themselves doing what our volunteers are doing on a daily basis. But actually, like Richard mentioned earlier, that easy application and that easy to find application button on the website is incredibly important. Don't make it like 2 hours for them to fill out an application. It needs to be quick, it needs to be easy, just get the basic information from them. You'll get to know them, you'll get to dive into their interests and more background and things like that a little bit later. Make it easy for them, because then you'll have more people coming through. Also, don't forget to take it on the road. So we have a lot of on-site stuff, but in Chicago we have tons of various festivals and we're always at those. So it's great to go out and advertise those things, but it's also great to take your volunteers with you. They're the ones that can tell your story best. They're the ones that are so passionate about being with you. They give a gazillion hours to our organizations every year. They're the ones that have the best message, so bring that with you. But also, similar to like your local schools, you also have your local universities and colleges. This is an even different skill set that could be brought to your program. Think about all of those, I mean, I'm biased because, again, I'm in the education field, but like, think about those pre-service teachers that need hours, they need experience in different things. Your organizations are a great place for that. So get out and connect with them. They have offices of volunteerism. You can connect with the different schools that are within each of the colleges. So whatever your content area is, there's going to be some type of school at a university or college that connects with you. Are there service hours that they need? Are there internships that they need? Different things like that that they can get through volunteering with your program. But another interesting way is going to community meetings. This one is a little bit more difficult if you don't have partnerships in your communities already. That's not to say it's not possible. But if you make yourself available to them, if you go to them and let them know what you're looking for, see where they are with it, and kind of figure out where you guys can best mesh together so you aren't forcing your agenda on them. Potentially you can chat about it at their community meetings, either even in churches, in community centers, things like that. But what's really cool about that is you will get a more diversified volunteer core because you are going into the community. You're going into the diverse different groups that you have as a part of your local region. And so that will bring more people, and your volunteer core will start to look more like the diversity of your area, not just maybe a certain type of person that you currently have coming into your volunteers. And then finally, my last slide, be creative. So at the Burke Museum, they have the EWOC team, which is the Ethnology Workout Club. So this was perhaps not the most exciting of volunteer roles, but they came up with a cool name for it, and really this was a lot of heavy lifting, and so hence the Workout Club. So they turned it into something fun to get volunteers to help with something that they really needed to happen, but made it something a little bit different, so it gave it a little bit of a different spin. So being creative is important. But also, you have a lot of people out there that maybe can't give once a week, or even once every 2 weeks, or once a month to your organization. Can they come for a one-shot deal? What are those volunteer opportunities where you can get them on the ground, say you have gardens or something like that. You can get them on the grounds to help out with work that needs to be done, if you have cleanups that need to be done, different things. But it's a great way to get a large group of like 50 to 150 people to come in and help. But the cool thing about that is maybe most of them, a huge majority of them, are only going to come for that one shot, but you might get some others that are like, hey, this was really cool, I really enjoyed the organization, I enjoyed the people, and you might get some hangers-on that want to come back and volunteer with you more. And then finally, tailoring those recruitment strategies to the variety of generations that we have out there right now. So you have your baby boomers who are really interested in using their skills. What are all the skills that they built up in their career over the years, and how can you take advantage of the expertise that they bring to your organization? Also, with Gen Xers, we like our freedom. So how is it that you can still have the structure that you need within your program and offer still fulfilling your goals and everything like that, but also have a little bit of freedom? Do they have some opportunities to be more autonomous in the role as what you maybe originally would have been comfortable with? And then for our millennials, they love immersion. They love having unique and hands-on and different things to do, but also really understanding what their impact is that they're making. So highlighting all of the benefits that you provide, highlighting all of the skill sets that they can either utilize or gain from your experience is incredibly important.
I think that's it
for
recruitment.
Okay. Well, we will have some time for questions at the end, so if you have some questions, hold on to those. We're still going to keep diving in here and throwing more info at you. So I'm Jenny Woods. I'm the Assistant Manager of Volunteer Programs at the Seattle Art Museum. Delighted to be here today. And I'm going to be talking about some retention strategies. So you did all that work, you followed all of the wonderful advice your majors covered, and you got these great volunteers. Now you have to keep them. And then this is just as much effort, if not more effort, as recruitment is. So we're going to go over a few ideas. Once again, as Renee mentioned, there is some overlap. There were some things that we came up with, and we're like, is that retention or recognition? We need more things than retention. Put it there. So there was a little bit of that. But some of these things are definitely connected to all three topics. And I always think that with retention, if you could do one of the things that I'm mentioning here and check that box, consider your retention done, but I would encourage you to maybe think about what sort of culture of retention you are creating at your organization, and some of these things on their own might not seem that significant, but when they're layered with other retention strategies, it becomes a meatier retention culture within your volunteer program. So, perks is a pretty standard thing that maybe you offer to your volunteer. Free admission. Hopefully you're giving the actual volunteer free admission to your location. If you're not doing that, maybe think about that. Additionally, I think a lot of organizations will give guest passes to the volunteers so they can bring in their friends and family. They can bring in their loved one and show off what they do for your organization. As we were sourcing some ideas for this presentation, we discovered there's a huge range in how many guest passes each organization feels comfortable with. So, for example, I'm at the Seattle Art Museum. Our volunteers can get two guest passes each quarter for 8 total a year, but they only get 2 at a time. Another organization we were talking to, the volunteer can bring in up to 4 guests per day. Which is mind-blowing to me, but that just shows you there's a range and your organization can find what they are most comfortable with to give this as a little perk to your volunteers. Additionally, sometimes a different route that some organizations take is a free membership, and usually this is attained after a certain number of volunteer hours, or maybe after you volunteer at the organization for a year, or what, once again, whatever you and your membership folks feel most comfortable with. But this could be a great perk and a reason for people to volunteer, especially sometimes someone who maybe is has a little bit of a fixed income, a younger student, maybe an older person with a fixed income. They can't afford a membership, but they can afford to give some time to your organization, and then suddenly they get to be a member, and they what they pay instead of dues is time, which is actually more valuable, it turns out. Access to staff perks. I'm not talking about health insurance. But there are probably some perks that your staff get that you might not even think of as perks. But whenever possible, can you extend these to your volunteers? So you have a yoga instructor that comes in on Tuesday at noon. Can your volunteers extend yoga as well? Maybe if your museum is an AAM Tier 3 level member, and your organization has purchased the all staff individual membership package, I know I just threw a lot of words at you, but if that applies to you, that individual memberships, those can be extended to unpaid staff, aka volunteers. Keep that in mind. Do you have a library archive study area that staff use? Can you volunteer to use that too? Maybe it's not open to the public, but maybe it, you know, we're considering volunteers part of the organization. Open that up to them. You may not think of your staff break area as a perk at all, or even a delightful space. But just maybe talking a little personally there. But I listed it as a perk because for your volunteer, if they have access to that area, suddenly they have a place to put their lunch in the fridge. They can, you know, fill up their water bottle. Maybe you've got coffee supplies in there. And also for your volunteer, they go in there and they eat their lunch, and all of the other staff walk in, they get to have that great connection and say hi and get to know other people on staff. So while you might avoid your staff break area like a plague, your volunteer might think of it differently. I mean, you'll all still think it's gross, but at least it's a service you can provide for your volunteer. Does your organization have some local discounts for staff? If you flash your staff badge, you get a discount at the coffee shop around the corner. And can your volunteer flash their badge and get that same discount? And then I know at my organization, people are always giving us, you know, blocks of tickets for some matinee for a play that maybe is not sold quite as well as it could, and trying to drive a little bit of attendance. Can you give those things out to maybe a volunteer who's gone above and beyond? Or just open that up to volunteers. Take the first 10 people who email me and go see Annie at the local theater. Things like that can be really fun. This idea is one that I love specifically from the Seattle Aquarium. So they have Marine Mammal Mania Week and Octopus Week. And for those weeks, each day you volunteer, you get a different colored pin that is specific to that year. So in order to collect all of the 2019 pins for Octopus Week, you have to volunteer every day of Octopus Week. And it turns out this has been a real motivator for their volunteers. People love these pins. And my favorite part of this whole idea is that they get the volunteers to make the pins. They put the button in the volunteer lounge, and the team volunteers think that this is the greatest technology they've ever seen in their life, and they make all the pins for them. It's amazing. So something like this, something where you're sort of driving that, you know, we need a lot of help for this week, and you're making it fun to get volunteers up. And I know none of you volunteered, maybe one of you did, but I'm going to guess, none of you volunteered at Octopus Week or at a museum, like with Marine Mammal Mania Week, but I got about 20 pins in Seattle Aquarium sent with me up here on the thing. So if you're fast enough, come grab one afterwards. It has an adorable otter holding a shell and an octopus. So I love that one. I would say a good portion of our budget goes to food, maybe you're the same. And I don't think you can, I mean, I think this is simple, yeah, of course, few people. But I think for volunteers, it really does help them either during their volunteership or when they're attending a training or something. So if you can offer a free cup of coffee through your cafe or a free cookie or something like that that they can have during their break time, during their shift, that's great. One organization we talked to surveyed their volunteers for what their favorite snacks were and then stocked the volunteer break room with those specific snacks. That's just a little bit above and beyond, just a general, like, here's some granola bars. And then anytime you're having a volunteer training, try to build in a little bit of a social time with some food. Most volunteer organizations, they love our organization, but they also want to have a connection to other people. And this gives them that opportunity to meet other people, and it's, I don't know what, easier to meet other people when you got a muffin in your hand. So there you go. Give your volunteers a little food, and they'll be less surly and more happy because they've got a full belly. Communication. So this might not seem like a retention thing, but I think so often making sure that our volunteers are part of the team and up to date and know what's going on really makes them feel connected to your organization, and that connection is integral to retention. So if you're frontline staff, you pre-shift meetings, can you invite your volunteers to attend those as well? Then not only are your volunteers up to date on everything happening at the organization that day, but they also, again, have that connection to staff, get still a little more part of the team, It can reduce some of that otherness, but sometimes volunteers can feel some of that tension between volunteers and staff that quite frankly can happen. If you can't invite them to the all-staff pre-shift, can you at least do a volunteer pre-shift to get everybody on the same page? That sort of communication just makes people feel more secure in their volunteer role and not, nobody likes to feel dumb, like they don't have the answer to a question. So remove that with some communication. Volunteer newsletter, probably a lot of you do this. This is a great way to communicate what's going on within the volunteer department, what's going on within your organization. Bonus points if you get your volunteers to write the volunteer newsletter. That is like the best idea ever. And one idea I really loved that I saw was a volunteer newsletter where they have a section that they highlight questions that visitors have asked with the answers. So both standard questions, but also some unique questions. And then it's an interesting thing, and it also educates your volunteers so they're ready to answer that question the next time it comes around. So that's sort of a fun content. I know for writing newsletters every once in a while, and you're like, oh my God, I just wrote one last month. Something to shake it up a bit can always help. And then make sure, and this can happen in that volunteer newsletter, make sure you're sharing the impact that the volunteers have. I think some of us in staff meetings sit through these goal setting and key performance indicators, and I know I drift off a bit when that stuff gets talked about, but it is important to let your volunteers know, hey, we meet our membership goal for that last exhibition, we meet our attendance goal. Keep them apprised of how things turned out. That can be a real motivator for people. Some people are really, really interested in the success of your organization, which is ultimately what that is, despite all the acronyms and fancy jargon there. Continuing education. So it turns out learning does not stop when school stops. And a lot of people are volunteering at your organization because they want to continue to be engaged, continue to learn things, and to have maybe a little bit of special access to more information about your organization. So bringing in guest speakers, and this is sort of thing like, in your community, there is undoubtedly some local expert that, you know, maybe you can cobble together a bit of an honorarium, bring that person in, invite all the volunteers, invite the staff, invite whoever you want. Give folks that opportunity to have access to those and learn a little bit more. And speaking of access, staff access. I think that whenever you can create a culture within your organization where volunteers have access to staff beyond just yourself as the volunteer manager, they should have access to you. That should have been on the basic slide. But whenever possible, that they know that they can reach out to the head of membership with a question about membership, or they can reach out to a curator with a question that a visitor came up with, or that they came up with. It's something that if that's not the culture in your organization, it's not going to happen overnight, but try to create that culture so that volunteers do have more access to staff. I'm amazed every year when we do our volunteer survey, and one of the questions is, what's your favorite thing about volunteering at SAM? And every year, one of the highest rated things is my connection to the staff at SAM. And that's amazing, because I would have thought, you know, 10 other things before that. But people love having that connection to the staff and how willing the staff, and my team in particular, who are a lot of people, they are so willing to respond to volunteer inquiries, and they really do appreciate the volunteers, and it makes for an amazing connection between volunteers and staff. So I think that can't be overstated. Diversity training. Your organization is talking about this, has done it, will do it. I'm going to guess it's on everybody's radar. Can you invite your volunteers to whatever trainings you're doing for staff? This is going to actually benefit your organization, but it is also going to benefit the volunteer as part of this continuing education and helping people to maybe expand their horizons a little bit and learn more about this topic if it's not something that they have had access to training about in the past. Can you be flexible? So what sort of accommodations can you make within your volunteer program? And these can be accommodations for someone who is a college student and their schedule changes every 3 months as the semester changes. Can the volunteer role that they're serving in fluctuate to accommodate that? they're going to stick around if you can accommodate that. They're going to leave if you're like, oh, but your shift's on Tuesday, now you can't do that? This also can help for providing accommodations for people with disabilities. Being open to requests that you get for accommodations for people with disabilities is integral to retaining folks in your volunteer program. And then also changes in capacity due to aging. Do you want to keep somebody out of your program because they've gotten a little bit older and they can no longer come every week, but every other week is still manageable? Can you make that accommodation? Probably. Should you? Yes. Think about having an emeritus option for your volunteers, because this can really keep folks who are very ingrained in your organization, but maybe because of aging, not physically able to volunteer any longer. So the emeritus option at Seattle Art Museum, folks can, you know, this is after a long-term service, many years of service, but if they want to stay connected to the program after they can't volunteer, we allow them to do that. They still get invited to the social things, they still get invited to the parties, education stuff, but they don't have to come work a shift every other week at the information desk. Enrich your volunteer program. We have a volunteer advisory council. This is a great way to give volunteers some leadership within your organization and some leadership within your volunteer program. They get a little bit of chance to have a say in how the volunteer program is run and what sort of perks there are and all those things that are available to your volunteer program. And when people are really connected to your program, they're not looking to leave, it turns out. So that can be a successful way to really keep people involved. And volunteer leadership conference opportunities. If there's a local or regional leadership conference, can you cobble together a little bit of money and pay for your volunteers' registration fee, giving them a little bit of opportunity for some professional development? Or maybe there's not something like that in your community. Can you put together a leadership conference? Here's a hint, having volunteers do it. You're providing leadership for, you know, lots of folks in your region, other museums and other organizations that utilize volunteers. Can be a great opportunity for volunteers. And then Spring Fling is just a more fun name for field trip. The Utah Museum of Fine Arts does a Spring Fling each year, and they charter a bus and pick a location that's about 2.5 hours from the museum. So it's far enough that many volunteers might not have gone that far. They coordinate a special one, but it's close enough that you're not gone for more than a day. So think about sort of those sort of field trip opportunities that maybe you could put together that would be a special event for volunteers. Could be a lot of fun. Engagement. A mentor opportunity within your volunteer program can be a great thing, both for established volunteers and new volunteers. So often we will see mentor opportunities where we pair up a new volunteer or a younger volunteer with someone who's been in the program for a little while. Suddenly the new volunteer has a buddy, so it's not as intimidating to walk into the training room and the social time and all of that, because they know somebody. For the person that's acting as a mentor, you've given them some responsibility, they've got a job to do, and they make more connections with other volunteers as well. So consider a mentor opportunity within your program to help folks feel a little more settled in. High expectations often equal high retention. And I say high expectations within reason. Don't be unreasonable in what you're expecting from your volunteers. But a lot of museums report that when they expect a lot from their volunteers, they get a lot from their volunteers. And when they expect hardly anything, guess what they get? Hardly anything. So once again, within reason, but give your volunteers important roles, leadership, tasks that need to be done. Let them rise to that challenge, and you may be hopefully pleasantly surprised that they do rise to that challenge. They feel invested in your program, and they stick around. Additionally, look at what type of volunteer roles you have. You have people picking up garbage? Guess how long they're going to stay? Not long at all. Do you have volunteers who get to do interesting things, working with your collection, working closely with staff, having engaging conversations with visitors? Those are the things that volunteers are going to love to do, and that's going to keep them around, especially when they get to do something that's a little bit special. that not everybody has access to doing. And then I often find, so with those volunteers, their interaction with the visitor then is so much richer because they have this great experience, and it's not just they attended a 30-minute training and now they're input desk going, rush them for that way. So whenever possible, give folks more meatier volunteer roles. And finally, special access. I mostly included this, so I could include this photo of Sammy the camel. But this is an idea from the Seattle Art Museum, Harvard. And we raffle off some prizes at a special volunteer luncheon. And these are things that, I mean, the general public does not get this stuff. So we raffle off a lunch with the director, like a one-on-one lunch with the director. A private tour with the curator for a volunteer and like six of their closest friends. And sometimes the private tour has happened after hours when they're the only people in the galleries. And then this year we tried a private photo shoot at the museum's mascot, Sammy the Camel, which was quite popular with some of our volunteers who have grandchildren. They were very excited to be able to bring their grandkids and have a picture with Sammy. So. Think about some fun things that you can offer your volunteers that not anybody else has access to. Okay, I think that's it for me. I'm going to turn it over to Crystal.
Hello. Hi, everyone. Thank you. You made it two-thirds of the way through our slide deck. Congratulations. I take a lot of recognition to the volunteer engagement. It's actually one of my favorite parts of my job. I think it's a wonderful opportunity to celebrate your volunteers and reflect on your program. So first off, mark your calendars with these dates. It's really easy to get caught up in recruitment and retention, but recognition is so important for the health of your volunteer program. So it's helpful to bookmark your calendar. If you do volunteer month or year, then think about whether or not you want to pursue that. Birthdays are an easy way to celebrate everyone. National Volunteer Week is in April. I highly recommend you bookmark that. It changes a little bit each April in terms of the week it falls on. International Volunteer Day is on December 5th. Some programs may feel like they don't have an international component to their volunteer program. This is an opportunity to reflect on how really volunteerism does happen throughout the world. We're all connected. And you may have a programming related to holidays at your organization, at the Exploratorium. We have Pi Day. So that happens on March 14th. I don't know if you know about Pi Day. I highly recommend you bookmark that day on your calendar. It's a day to celebrate all things irrational, transcendental, and round, like pi. And think about different ways you can use these dates to celebrate and rally your staff members to highlight what your volunteers are doing, because it may be as simple as sending out a message to your volunteers. It may be just asking your staff members to acknowledge your volunteers during that time frame. Or I love making these little images, like the one you see on the right, on my iPhone. I never use Adobe Photoshop. There are apps out there that make it really easy for you to just edit something, and even Instagram. Take a screenshot of that, and then you can share that with your volunteers. One of the major complaints I hear about recognition, oddly enough, is that you might miss somebody. So think about developing a program where you don't, right? There are different ways to recognize and acknowledge people. All of the people showing up to help you out, they're donating their time. They got out of bed, they showed up, you know, they already are doing quite a bit of work and they're working there alongside you. The friends of SFPL, they talk about inviting meetup photographers. So I don't know if you have a meetup in your community, there might be an equivalent. You might even know someone who's an aspiring photographer. We'd be happy to help take photographs of your volunteers while you're busy running the event, because you can totally take photographs. We have a little insect that lets us take Polaroid equivalents, which is very nostalgic and cute. But it can be really hard to do that when you're in the midst of an event or you have a busy day. But catch your volunteers in action and then share that with them. It's an incentive for them. It's also an opportunity for you to gain materials for your recruitment efforts and to tell the story of your volunteer program to your fellow staff members
or other stakeholders. None of our volunteers probably live at our museum, right? So they all have to commute like we do. There's an opportunity for you to make that commute a little bit more fun, a little bit special, and acknowledge that they put that effort in. Some organizations offer a special parking spot based on certain criteria that works for them. Other organizations might focus on transit passes because that's how many of their volunteers show up. In San Francisco, we love biking, so even making sure that your volunteers have a safe space to park your bicycle is a way to ensure that they feel comfortable in your space. Apparently, the Museum of Flight has personalized license plates that they share with their volunteers, and only their volunteers. So you can do little things to make it special. I don't know about you, but we give out a lot of t-shirts, and I've gotten a lot of volunteer t-shirts. There's an opportunity there to make that special. Is there a way for you to attach an image to it? Is there a way to tie a ribbon? Is there something about the way you give that to them that it's not just like, oh, here's a t-shirt, right? Or you're like, oh, pick it from the pile. There's an opportunity for you to use that as a gift to say thank you. Once they're at your museum, you know, what kind of messaging do you have in your space? How are you acknowledging the work that they do as they walk through those doors? Do you have maybe a permanent plaque that acknowledges specific contributions? It's a way for you to show the values of your organization. What does your volunteer program and your organization's value? Another thing you could do is use a temporary or permanent banner. It's mobile. If you have a special event, you can move it if you need to. It also gives you the flexibility if you want to invite staff members to decorate like a $10 piece of fabric that you picked up. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to cost a lot. It can also be something that your volunteers co-create with you. As Jenny highlighted, it's really fun to engage your volunteers in some of these programs because they want to see themselves represented in your space too. You could go big, you could advocate for your volunteers to be included in larger site-specific installations. So we might have spaces where we have donors acknowledged. Your volunteers are also contributing to the stability of your organization. Is there a way for you to acknowledge them in that space too? And so the Desert Botanical Garden in Arizona actually called out volunteers in the garden as part of this larger installation, which is really beautiful. So clearly, we mentioned earlier, like say hi, know their names, that makes you know. There are so many ways to share that message, and sometimes we get really stuck in our work, and our colleagues could also be helping us share that message too. I'm amazed by how often when I ask our staff members to remember National Volunteer Week and say, like, thank you to their volunteers, they actually do it. They just needed that reminder. And then it's really fun to see them do it because they all do it in their own unique, special way. I can say thank you a ton. But it's wonderful when our volunteers are hearing it from different sources. And so you can make sure they're getting that message in different avenues outside of your staff and yourself, making sure that they get those thank you notes that schools might send you, or if a visitor has a special interaction with them and makes note of it, making sure they see that. It's great when you see it, but letting them hear that message makes them feel really special. Thinking about your visitors and National Volunteer Week, for example, some organizations actually set up a thank you table on the floor so visitors can take part in celebrating volunteers. The other thing that you could do is use your internal and external channels in terms of social media, as I mentioned earlier. And so you will see a lot of overlap in terms of recruitment, retention, recognition. Playing with how those pieces form the bigger message of how you communicate to your volunteers is really important. I love those special little gifts that are not cookie cutter, right? It's really easy to pick something out of a catalog that says, thank you, volunteers. But really thinking about, what would make you feel special? We love doing make and give events, where we invite our staff members to help make little things that we can then give to our volunteers. Our staff love this because it's an opportunity for them to make something. I don't know about you, but a lot of people in our space, they actually like engaging in things like this. And it's an opportunity.
story of your volunteer program because they're wondering why they're making a thing. It's also an opportunity for the staff member to then be the person who shares the message of thanks. And it's really sweet when somebody walks up to you and says, I made this just for you. So really just empowering your staff to be able to do that. Our friends at SFPL, I hope you get to meet them when you come to San Francisco, they figured out that Lush actually donates products to nonprofits that would like to celebrate their volunteers. There's a form online. I didn't believe it when she told me. It exists. and there are probably local organizations that would be willing to donate for you to celebrate your volunteers. So thinking about those resources, and it doesn't always have to cost a lot of money to celebrate. Recognition in terms of history in the making. So I think this is a really wonderful way to reflect on the contributions of your volunteers in your space who have contributed many years to the program, perhaps. And so you can pursue Lifetime Achievement Award, and that could manifest in many different ways, whether it's your blog post, whether it's a special event. At the Utah Museum of Fine Arts, they have a website where they're collecting their volunteer stories. You don't necessarily have to have a website to collect your volunteer stories. You actually just need an iPhone. You can record those stories. And those are really special moments when you have people reflect on their experiences in your space and outside of your space. Our friends at the Travels Schulte Museum take customizing their volunteer gifts to the next level. I don't know what you think, but I think that one, that photo on the right from them is like, it's from Pinterest, basically. they actually go beyond embroidering Charles, embroidering on Pinterest characters to the point of embroidering the name of their volunteers and letting them select their favorite peanut character for the t-shirt. So it's like next level of customization. Obviously celebrate, create gatherings. I think oftentimes people get caught up in what our annual gathering might look like. It doesn't always have to be the big party. It could be a small barbecue, it could be a picnic, it could be a knitting group. You know, think about your volunteers and what makes them happy. Some of our volunteers actually don't want to go to a big party. It doesn't feel like they're being recognized in those scenarios. They much prefer those intimate connections where they feel seen. But then there's the opportunity to highlight the talents. So we love throwing an annual ephemeral event around an art show game. And this is an opportunity for our volunteers and staff to share their talents that they use inside our space and outside of their space. It's also an opportunity for everyone to talk about it, right? You know, sometimes it's helpful to have something that you can refer to and have a conversation about. And for our event, we actually have our volunteers help with installing and taking everything down, so they're part of the process. You can also have not necessarily permanent, but more
like a long-term, longish, few months.
Yeah, month-long installation of artwork that you share. And the last one is invite your subject matter experts to share out to your staff members. Oftentimes, we're focused on sharing messages to our volunteers. Sometimes the volunteers can share information with us, and it's an opportunity to have people in your space engaging their staff members in something that they find really exciting. We actually had our Oaxacan biologists share out during International Volunteer Day this past year, and it was a wonderful opportunity to gather, reflect, celebrate, and also learn about something that we didn't know very much about. So that's it for recognition for now.
Okay, so in the final few minutes, we wanted to have an opportunity for folks to be able to share their experiences. If you have something very quickly, or if you have questions that you'd like to ask, we're going to run the microphone around as quickly as we can to get as many people an opportunity to share. And Laura, I'm going to come to you first. You can share, tell us what you're trying. Tell us that.
Hi there, my name is Veronica, and I work at a military museum in Fayetteville, North Carolina. And for those of you who don't know this major city, it is the home of Fort Bragg, one of the largest military bases in the country. So we have a huge military family, veteran, retiree community, and so of course, majority of our volunteers are military backgrounds, so retirees, veterans, and most memorable birthday. He turns 100 years old. He is one of our World War II veterans. We have two still living, still volunteering with us. And what we did was, of course, we wanted to think of something special to recognize him, to celebrate his birthday. It's a wonderful milestone to reach 100 years old. And of course, he still comes and volunteers with us every Sunday. So I had seen on the news, I think it was like Fox News or something, they had sent out birthday cards to a World War II veteran in Texas, who was turning 100 years old. So what I did was I just emailed, contacted my local news, Spectrum News in Fayetteville, North Carolina. I put the word out and said, hey, we want the community to help us celebrate this wonderful volunteer who has a unique story as well. He served in China, actually, during World War II, so it's just within the European mission. And people from all